just wanted to address Director Bonin's motion and just provide a quick update. He indicated four areas of concern of the Bikeway Advisory Committee, and just take a brief moment to go over them. One of them is Sentinella, and the issue of Sentinella is how it crosses Sentinella and the traffic control at that intersection. We've looked, we're still exploring some realignment of streets. There's some issues with taking parking that may impact because it's close to Bundy. Anyway, we're still progressing with that and coming up with options on that one. Another one was Pico Gateway. I think we've all reached an agreement, City of L.A., Bicycle Advisory Committee, and we've directed our designer to go ahead and redesign in accordance with what the Bicycle Advisory Committee and LADOT came up with. The Northvale Trench is the one that Eric mentioned, which is the $6.8 million cost. The good news is I think everybody supports moving that off of the guideway and up onto the street so we could take advantage of the $6.8 million savings. Bicycle Advisory Committee supports it. The issue now is what we would have to do from a perspective of making that a bikeway up on Northvale and whether there's any environmental work that needs to be done associated with making that change. And then the final issue was keeping the bike, or actually moving the bike path from the north side of the right-of-way to the south side of the right-of-way. We think it can be done, but there's some issues with LAUSD faculty parking that would have to be eliminated to do it, and also a cul-de-sac will actually reduce the width of the bicycle path. So we'll be taking that back to the Bicycle Advisory Committee as well to get further input from them.
Two words you may not hear often enough, thank you. We're hearing good things from the folks on the Bicycle Advisory Committee. They feel that everybody's talking in good faith and we're making some progress, and that's good. So thank you for that. Quick question for Eric. This morning I was in West L.A. I was driving north on Bundy in between Pico and Olympic, and there was a traffic sign that said Expo Phase 2 work, which made me very happy to see, and then it said the date that it starts, but there was no finish date. Get a finished date or an estimated one up there so people don't think this is...
I think it will be dependent on when we start, but yes, we can certainly give a duration of the work, but we'll work on doing some things.
Okay. Any other comments? Are you you still have more?
I still have a little more.
Okay, go ahead.
The potential delays for the overhead utility relocations, I'm happy to report we've actually made some progress here. As I showed earlier, a lot of the bridge construction is going on. We're able to do that with the overhead lines still up, so we've been able to keep that work moving forward as we move forward with putting in the underground infrastructure to bring those lines down. So we've made progress there. The DWP and SCE work is still on the critical path, so we really continue to closely monitor that and working closely with the utilities and the contractor to look at these issues in ways that we can keep the project moving on schedule. We're working with SCE, Communications Southern California Gas, to look at ways to resolve interface issues at the terminus station as far as the timing on relocations to keep that work moving forward. I talked at the last board meeting about some issues that we were having with nighttime work, specifically at Sepulveda and National Palms. All the work for the duct bank installation by our contractor was bid as nighttime work. Nighttime variances at all the locations except Sepulveda and National Palms. We need 8-hour shifts so we don't increase the costs to do this. We need either nighttime work or day work with a peak hour variance or some combination thereof. So we're making progress on the issue. We're working with the contractor, Councilman Caretz's office, the mayor's office, the city of L.A., and the affected communities, again, to determine the best approach for the work. In order to keep it going without any increased cost or impact to schedule, and then working to with the city to come up with any required variances. So we'll continue to report on this item as it progresses. community outreach. We hosted an urban design committee meeting last month. Community update meetings in the month also had very good attendance out there, and conducted a stakeholder briefing at the Parham's Neighborhood Council that we talked about earlier. Local hires program, the 30% goal is the goal on this. At this point in time, with 6.6% of the hours expended, the contractor is currently at 46.7% local hires. SRG and subcontractors have employed 161 small businesses, 120 which are local, $63 million committed to the SBEs, with over $26 million committed to local SBEs, and they continue to work at waiving some of the higher bond and insurance requirements, or relaxing those requirements so that the SBEs can compete and participate in the work. As far as the local and small business goals go, right now they are at a 15.9% attainment based on a 20% goal and a 28.8% commitment. On the local side of things, they are at 11.3%, which is over the 7% goal, but shy of their 12% commitment. That concludes my presentation.
Okay. Any questions? We were joined about 15 minutes ago by Andrew Westall, representing Director Wesson, so I want a record to reflect that. No questions, then let's go on to the CEO comments. Do you have any additional comments?
Oh, I don't have any additional. No.
Board comments? Not closed session?
Yes, the board should move to go into closed session under item 10A, conference with real estate negotiators, referencing government code 54956.8, and also under item 10B, as mentioned on the agenda, pending litigation under government code 54956.9A. For the audience, it's not anticipated there'll be any reportable action.
Assumption that we should start with native, and you need to make a compelling case that it should be non-native.
What we're doing right now in response to the board's action is looking at every one of the non-native plants and seeing if they're very similar to what this. We've hired a landscaper to do exactly this on the entire palette to see where we can substitute a native for a non-native. So we started out with trying to mimic the landscaping on Expo Phase 1 because the concept was that it should look like a transit parkway from downtown all the way to Santa Monica. With this new concept, so that's how it all started out. And so with the board motion then to go to look and see if we can maximize the native plants and substitute them for the non-natives. That's where we are right now. And as I indicated, it's a work in progress. We've hired a consultant that is versed in native plants. We're getting together with the contractor and the landscape firm that's actually going to be planting these and has to go out and acquire them. And then when we're ready, we'll be coming back to this board and presenting a proposal to you on what we think works best in trying to meet the direction of the board.
It sounds kind of like the burden is still on them to convince you that native would work because so much work has been done on the non-native.
No, it's just that this conversion to native in the board's direction was well after we had progressed the design. So we've put the contractor on hold as far as the design and progressing the design, and we're now moving forward with evaluating each plant and seeing if there is a native substitute for it.
And just for the record, Councilman Rosendahl and our office would like to stand with Councilman Koretz and Councilman O'Leary in wanting to see the maximum of native.
It's O'Connor, Pam.
Hi, one thing, too, and learn a bit more, but just Googling a little bit, L.A. County talks about native and drought-tolerant landscape. So there's concept of there may be some plants that are drought-tolerant that may not be native. So for me, the hierarchy is drought tolerant as much as possible, and then within that, native trees after that. But also, I recognize, too, that if you look around Los Angeles County, I'm not a landscape architect, but something that's needed, and needed in a lot of those areas that are paved in Los Angeles, are trees to provide shade. It's not necessarily along the alignment. But sometimes we need to look at plant, and I don't know if that every tree is drought tolerant, but certainly we do need to be able to have landscaping that includes shade and trees. And sometimes it may not be a native plant or drought tolerant, but what we seek is that balance, and we seek to use the drought tolerant and the native as best as we can. So that's
okay.
My philosophical bent.
Paul?
Yeah, my obviously the first proposal of two natives out of 15 not responsive to our motion, although it sounds like the work you're doing is responsive. My concern is that the problem may be that the landscape contractor is not used to working with native plants, and I've heard that may have expressed concern that these will die off. And so what can we do to make them more comfortable with their ability to bring in natives and make that work? And also, I believe there are individuals such as the folks here and organizations that would be willing to help lend their expertise, presumably on a volunteer basis, to help them keep native plants alive and give them more advice on how that can be done. So if that is, in fact, the concern, how do we work with that contractor to make them feel more comfortable with working with native plants?
I think probably modifying their maintenance and warranty. I think that's one of the concerns, because they're on the hook to maintain the plants for at least a year, maintain and replace anything that dies off. And I think that may be one of their concerns. And as we go through this and say, okay, you need to replace this plant with a native plant, then, again, part of this overall thing that we're going to come back to you will be probably there may be an increased cost. We don't know yet. But certainly there's concerns over maintenance and the warranty period, and that may have to be adjusted in order to make this happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Let's move on to the there's nobody else seeking to be heard from the public. And thank you for coming. Item number five, the consent calendar. Director Ridley Thomas has joined us as well. Record should reflect that. Item number five, anybody want to pull anything off the consent calendar? If not, motion by Ridley Thomas to approve the consent calendar, second by O'Connor without objection. Unanimous vote. Item six.
Item 6A, phase two approval of just compensation for parcel E2-0606.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the next two items are relative to acquisition of right-of-way necessary for the phase two project. Velma Marshall from Metro is the one that is handling our right-of-way acquisition, and I'll just turn it over to her.
Okay. Good afternoon, members of the board. Item 6A is a request to approve just compensation for parcel E20606. This parcel is owned by the City of Santa Monica. It's a large 127,000 square feet parcel that's used for maintenance and facility storage. However, we only need to acquire 8,297 square feet as a street easement to be dedicated to the city. It will be used for widening Colorado Avenue. The amount of just compensation is $1,410,000. Both the city and Expo obtained appraisals. They were very close in value. This is a compromise offer amount, settlement amount, that we ask your approval.
Any discussion on this item? Moved by O'Connor, second by Bonin, without objection. Unanimous vote. 6B.
Item 6B, phase 2 public hearing and adopt resolution of necessity for the VBU-001.
Do we have anyone who wishes to be heard on this? Mr. Thorpe?
Yes, this is a piece of property. Again, I'll turn it over to Velma, but it's a piece of property that is necessary for the project. We're still in negotiations with the owner of the property over a few issues, cost and construction easement, temporary easement. We will continue to work with them, but because of the length of the time, if we can't reach an agreement, we need it to start the condemnation process as quickly as possible. So, Velma?
Yes, this is a public hearing to consider the adoption of a resolution to condemn a parcel. The purpose of the hearing is to determine the necessity for the acquisition of the parcel identified as Los Angeles County Assessor Parcel Number 4206-032-046 and 055 and 4206-003-068, more commonly known as 9000 Dennis Boulevard in the city of Los Angeles. The staff report addresses the following questions: whether the public interest and necessity require the project, whether the project is planned and located in the manner that would be the most compatible with the greatest public good and least private injury, whether the property interest is necessary for the proposed project, and whether an offer was made to the owner of record. The staff report has been given to the board secretary for the inclusion in the official records of this public hearing. The parcel included in this action is required for the construction and operation of a light rail station site and related uses in connection and construction and operation of Exposition Light Rail Transit Project Phase 2 and the Venice Boulevard street widening. The light rail project will provide significant improvements in transportation and attendant access to economic opportunities for low-income, elderly, and transit-dependent persons living in the Los Angeles-Santa Monica West Side area. The environmental effects associated with the acquisition and construction of the Exposition Light Rail Project were evaluated in the final environmental impact report and environmental impact statement, which was certified by the board on February 2010. For the reasons discussed in the staff report and in the EIR-EIS, staff recommends that the board find that the public interest and necessity require the project, the project has been planned and located in the manner that would be most compatible with the greatest public good and least private injury, the property interests sought to be acquired are necessary for the project, the acquisition offer has been made in compliance with Government Code Section 7267.2. An appraisal was obtained to determine the fair market value of the property interest required. A written offer was made to the property owner for the full amount of just compensation. An effort was made to negotiate an acceptable purchase price with the owners, but agreement was not reached. Because of the imminent need to acquire the property interest for the Exposition Light Rail Project, staff recommends acquisition of the parcel through eminent domain.
Okay, we have a letter from the lawyer, I think it's on this case, from California Eminent Domain Law Group. They requested that that their letter be made a part of the record, so I would ask that we make this a part of the record.
Yes.
And is there any discussion on this item? Anybody in the audience wants to be heard on this item? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Is there a motion to approve this? Moved by Koretz, seconded by O'Connor. Without objection.
Item 7A, Phase 1 and Phase 2 project status update.
Mr. O'Connor, the wrong Eric. Eric Olson, our project manager, will present that.
Starting with Phase 1. Still have an issued substantial completion to FFP pending delivery of remaining spare parts. Continue to push them for a delivery schedule and have yet to have that supplied to us, so we continue to push to get that taken care of. At the Blue Line Junction, our track work experts that we selected a couple months ago are to submit their draft report this week. We actually expected it earlier this week, but they're back on the East Coast, so Sandy affected their ability to get it done, but I would expect it today or tomorrow with a final report at the end of November. And once we have the report, we will go ahead and report the findings at the next board meeting. Other major issues, the noise and vibration analysis, the additional noise testing is pending the replacement of spring frogs at the National Interlocking. The spring frogs are a noise retardant device that we put on the interlocking, so we want to get those put in before we go out and do the noise testing. So we're continuing to monitor that. Project budget, our latest forecast shows a shortfall of $6.6 million for the cost elements that are known or anticipated. Some of the budget shortfall could be offset with additional third-party reimbursements of up to $2.8 million. And we still have several outstanding risk items that are out there that could further affect the budget. This shows the movement on the shortfall up to $6.6 million. Again, we continue to monitor that closely. Moving to phase two. A lot of construction going on out there, a lot of bridge work the contractor has started. This is placing concrete on Centennial Avenue for the bridge abutment there. Again, this is more work on the bridge structure at Centinella. More concrete placement for the Olympic Cloverfield bridge abutment. And CIDH piles at National Palms bridge structure. So, again, a lot of work going on out there in the field, specifically for bridge structures. The alignment design build contract, we continue to advance the design on a number of the packages, 85% for landscaping we discussed. Again, as we said, that is on hold pending final plant palette, and we continue to move a number of the design packages to 100%. Construction activities, we've got waterline relocations, duct bank installation, as I said, a lot of the bridge structures and retaining walls. The maintenance facility design is advancing to the 100% level. We're actually in the process now of preparing a statement of qualifications to release to the industry to select potential contractors on this project with a target of releasing the bid package at the beginning of next year. The Venice Boulevard aerial structure, we're out continuing to do sewer relocation. We were able to obtain our important Caltrans encroachment permit so LADWP can begin their duct bank installation this upcoming weekend, and we're working with Caltrans to get the encroachment permit for our communication duct bank trench that we need to relocate the overhead communication lines. On the bikeway contract, I wanted to take some time to summarize where we are budget-wise. Which, we have some significant issues budget-wise here. I've got here basically the line items in the budget, starting with the environmental and conceptual engineering and the preliminary engineering, and those have been completed and those line items have been expended. On authority and third-party oversight costs, there was a budget of $1.5 million. We're currently projecting that's going to end up somewhere in the range of $4 million for a $2.5 million shortfall. Final design and construction, we received a price from our contractor for that work. $21.2 million. In addition to that, there's several proposed scope modifications that add another $1.2 million is our rough order of magnitude estimate on that to bring it to $22.4, which is a $10.3 million shortfall. With the contingencies associated with that, we have another $1.2 million shortfall. So right now we're projecting an overall shortfall of $14 million. Now, there's been discussion about moving a segment of the bike alignment off of the guideway alignment and onto city streets. This is a very expensive section where there's a lot of retaining walls that are required to implement the bikeway. So if we were able to move that section back onto city streets, there would be approximately $6.8 million savings, which, again, brings our shortfall to $7.2 million. So at this point in time, we're working closely. Well, we're working with the contractor, going through negotiations on his price, working with the Bicycle Advisory Committee, the City of L.A., Metro, and the City of Santa Monica on outstanding scoping items. And as we further advance this, we'll come back to the board and give you a report on where things stand budget-wise on the bikeway.
The funding for the bikeway is part of our budget, but it's not... It's not part of our budget.
It's not
coming from us.
It's not part of our budget. Right.
It's being funded by the city. Is that correct?
It's
their sources.
Yeah, it's funded through a Metro federal grant, and we have the City of Santa Monica as well as the City of L.A.
Right.
So it's not part of our project, but because it's so close, we felt it important that our contractor work at, you know,
right,
types of two projects together, but obviously our big concern right now is the budget shortfall, and so we only have really two options. One is to go back in Metro to see if there's more money available, or the other option is to cut back the scope of the bike project itself.
We do not have either a financial option or a legal option to fund the shortfall ourselves because
that's
of
correct.
The wall between us and the project environmentally.
Well, not only environmentally, but potentially funding-wise, because...